Right.
It seems so simple, but people just get caught up in, like, you know, pushing or like ego or whatever. Just money. Money.
That bread.
Bread.
Talk about the bread.
That's it.
They all want the bread.
Don't get blinded by the money.
Don't get blinded by the bread.
You have a opportunity to build a once in a lifetime relationship and a once in a lifetime industry to do amazing things for your future. If you think you can map to how much money you're going to make in this industry, you can't. Don't chase the money, chase the relationships, chase the brand you want to work for, chase your dream job because it's there.
Right.
Like, if you're chasing the money, you're lost.
All right, welcome back to the High Rise Podcast. Your host, Derek, here with High Rise Aaron.
Gee, what's cracking?
Today we got our boy, Barney, from Ember Valley.
Boop, boop, boop.
Yay! Hello, everybody.
Barney is an essential part of the High Rise gang. He's a huge part of the cannabis community here in California. And originally from Hawaii, he's been out here for a while, working in the cannabis industry, spearheading sales for many brands. Currently has landed himself at Ember Valley. And we just, you know, wanted to bring him on because he's at all of our events. He's at all of everyone's events. Everybody fucking knows Barney. If you guys don't know Barney, it's a great fucking opportunity to figure out who the fuck this dude is, because he's a fucking power hitter in the cannabis community. So welcome, Barney.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Barney's just, what do you got? What is this rig and what is this rosin? You got some Kalia, you got some.
Prepared.
What do you got?
You know, we're going to smoke some Kalia, peanut butter gelato number 4. This is a Dave Mann glass out of Ohio. It was supposed to be brick red, but sometimes things change color in the kiln. But it's one of my favorite things, and the banger is actually made in California, San Diego. The OG Quartz banger. Ooh. The original Cold Start. Yes.
Yeah, that thing's crazy. You're always rocking that one.
I do. If I had to pick one banger for the rest of my life, it'd be that one.
I think you always have some crazy ass new rig every time I see you. You always have like a different case or like a different like.
Always rolling up with the Pelly.
It's always got something special.
Maybe.
Always comes bearing gifts. He brought us these little chocolates. You know, that Hawaiian host, that Hawaiian heat for the boys in Beverly Hills.
And, yeah, that Hawaiian chocolate's good for you. It makes you a little fat, but like I think you need that in your life.
It's good for the soul.
It's good for the belly. I think the soul is
the spirit.
Ooh, the spirit! I'll take.
It's good for the spirit.
I'll take the spirit.
So
spirit,
what do you got? What are you about to take a dab of?
Okay, I'm trying to decide how big I should go. Is the real question. Small dab, big dab.
Go big, baby. Come on.
Fuck it. Okay.
Going big.
I figured we had to like talk.
Me on the podcast every day. Big. Come on.
Like fuck it. And by the way, this is my first podcast. Podcast. I don't know which one I said, but they both sounded great.
Don't worry. We get like fucking 600 views, so don't worry. It's not too crazy.
604.
Yeah, right? Barney's going to bring the Barney gang in, dude.
Yeah, let's go. Get these numbers up.
What are you smoking on over here, sir?
Shit, I got that seed junkie. I cracked into our stash.
Ooh.
We had like fucking 15 of these bags just like sitting in the closet. I'm like, I'm going to smoke this shit before it fucking gets dry and goes old like all the other weed we have.
Yeah, right? That part. We're always getting fire weed, and then I always want to like sit on stuff and save it for a great time, and then it always just goes stale, and then I do the disservice to the grower.
I know, I hate finding like big-ass fucking nugs, like fresh baked or just like fire. It's just like all fucking brown and old. I'm just like, ah, such a waste.
Sorry.
As someone who sells weed, don't do that.
Yeah.
I know, smoke it. Like, smoke it quickly. Like, I get paid to sell everybody weed. Like, smoke it fast. Roll it in big blunts. Like, give it away to friends.
Yeah, speaking of.
We try.
I got a Brothers Broadleaf Pearl and wrapped around this Archangelus Snowblind. Shout out Colby Cat for blessing the Archangelus at the Hall of Flowers.
Shout out Brothers Broadleaf as well.
For real. Brother Broadleaf about to take over the fucking game.
So what's up with them? I keep hearing you guys talk about it. We smoke them. They're fire. Like, what's their deal? They're like some new shit or what?
It's out of Tampa, Florida. Around? Tampa, Florida, I believe. Select drops, once a month or so. Hand-selected cigars.
And really nice people. Like, I don't know them well. I've texted a few times and, you know, like just from normal customer service. But, like, nice people. The blunts are great. I think the only thing I know is the pearls basically guarantee that all the stems will face in the right direction. There'll be no holes, anything like that. The duds might have, like, little holes and little imperfections, but, like, it's still better than anything else on the market.
Yeah.
Like, I got one given to me by the great Adam Mill.
Oh. Yeah.
That was my first experience. So once I went, I just like, Josh, you can't go back. No, like, once you smoke one, you're done.
Yeah.
I'm a Havana guy, which is frowned upon. Everybody likes the dark leaf, but like, I like the light leaf. I need to taste the flavor of the flower. It's important.
Wait, so what do you mean by drops?
It's so, like Supreme.
Yeah, what do you mean?
You have to like
Supreme of blunts.
Yeah, you have to like wait in line on the website when they do the drops, and a lot of people miss out. Like if you check their IG, everybody's like, "Fuck, I missed it," or like, "We almost missed it one time." Josh was like, it's literally like buying UFC tickets.
It just sells out in like minutes or whatever. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Good old dab.
Big terp.
I wasn't playing.
Big terping.
I thought I went a little low on the temp, but apparently got that just right.
Did you use your gun or did you just fucking use the gun, dude?
Forever. This gun was a gift from John Kortner. We call him the Bull Keeper on Instagram. Shout out, Bull Keeper. Shout out, John Kortner.
Oh, my God. Damn, your gun even matches your rig, too.
It does. That's why I haven't changed. My Pelican also matches my rig.
Let's go.
My wife's in fashion, so, you know, I try to make things a little bit classier.
Match your kit to your rig?
You know.
Next level.
I think it's important. I was like, oh, no, I didn't match the shoes.
Yeah, normally you got the Kobe's on.
Kobe's on for sure. I will. Cool. Kobe's on for sure. Shout out Kobe 9, All-Star Game, High Tops.
Dude. Bean, forever. How's that, Dab? You enjoy it? Good temp.
Thankfully, someone has this kit right here that I didn't know was going to be here because I forgot to bring Q-tips. So, whoever's kit this is, great job.
We got you.
Got all the fucking...
So, this Ember Valley shit, you guys have just been passing out these like little pheno hunts to everybody the last few months, right?
Yeah, so... The biggest thing that we've learned in weed is like what makes you special is the plant. It's not anything else. Like the plant's what makes you special. So the more time you put into R&D, the more time you put into genetics, the more time you put into your new strains, it makes the biggest difference. And like for us, it's easy because we love what we do and we have enough space. So like we test so much stuff. Most of the stuff will never make it to the market.
So this is all just handing out samples to like all the people in the industry and community and being like, yo, what do you think?
Give me feedback.
I think that's fucking super smart. I don't really see a lot of other brands doing that. And I've like, I don't know, you guys have been doing it for a while because I feel like every event I fucking, no matter what, I end up with like three in my pocket at the end of the day somehow. So, dude, I don't know. I think that's super smart. Like multiple ways you get the feedback, you get the people's hands, you get to like, you know, I don't know. It's
pretty Shout out to the best team in the game, giving stuff to the right people.
Gang.
Yeah,
dude.
gang.
So, always keeping us laced.
Shout out to the Valley.
The best one that I've had, and I guess it's like unanimous at least here, is that fucking Dole Whip, dude.
Oh, that one was insane.
That Hawaiian Dole Whip, baby. That shit is so fire.
Like, it's actually pronounced Dole Whip.
Dole Whip. Thank you, Brian.
If we were going to be correct, it's Dole Whip. We're actually talking about making that our first launch of next year.
So good.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. We've gotten reviews from some of the most critical buyers in the industry that are like, yeah, run that one.
That'll do.
We're excited. As a little Asian kid from Hawaii, it's a good one for me, like to be able to launch off of like something I understand. I actually don't like Dole Whip.
Like the soft serve. If you guys don't know, Dole Whip is like like pineapple, bananas and shit like that. It's like pineapple soft serve.
It's a soft serve basically. Most people know it from Disneyland, but now it's everywhere. But it's just pineapple soft serve, and I'm not really all that into soft serve or pineapple.
Blasphemy, dude.
I know, it's terrible. Blasphemy. I can't like say this out loud. Like, I don't like macadamia nuts.
Oh!
You won't see me eating one of these. But like,
you like poke, though, right? Like, of course. No way!
It's ahi fish grade number three. It's just not that great. It's not my fault. Okay. It's not good. Damn. And I'm right. I'm not wrong.
He's got more knowledge
than us. It's all chewy. There's suji in it. If you don't know what suji is, ask the person who makes you poke. They know.
Dude, we used to get the poke burritos every Thursday, remember?
That's right, baby.
It's just like it's the easy part of the fish to cut.
Yeah.
It's like it's the chicken of the
fish. It's like the dark meat shit. It's going to be like fatty and chewy and shit
Chewy and just not as wonderful. Like, I don't know. I want sushi. I want sashimi. I want that sugar fish. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want that lifestyle. I'm trying to live that LA life now. Damn, that dab was fantastic.
The fuck? Yeah, I'm about to break. After I finish this blunt, I'm about to break into your chocolates. But so how long you've been at Ember Valley for the last year?
Not even a year. It's been, I think, 5 months now.
Okay.
It's really fresh, actually.
And before that, Barney was Barney Full of Wonder at Wonder Bread. And before that, he was at Moxie.
This is true. Shout out Wonder Bread. Shout out Moxie.
And then Ember Valley's like, yeah, we're going to steal your ass. And we're going to give you all the weed in the world to hand out to everybody in the streets. Sell this shit.
They put him in the streets.
No comment.
Has the shit been selling, Barney?
We are doing very well. We're very stoked. Honestly, like, as I said, the plant does all the work. Plants don't take days off. They're working Christmas. I won't be. Plants are working New Year's. I won't be.
Fuck yeah. Shout out to the growers, too, because they're going to be working, too. Those fools don't stop.
I certainly hope some get to take time off. Shout out Redding. Shout out Redding fam. Yeah, y'all the best. I don't know if that's what the camera is, but so I hope it is. I don't know. We're thankful for everything that's going well, but we are starting to move a lot of flower, and we need to. We got a big grow. It's one of the deals that we promise our stores. It's like, we'll help you move flower. We want to move a lot of it because we grow a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty simple math thing for us. Yes, like,
keep it moving.
There's only so many stores that can sell it.
Right.
It's like island mentality. If you screw up one spot, you can never sell weed there again. Yeah, you don't want to do that too often. Be polite. Be nice.
Yeah.
Facts. So, like, what do you think has been, like, you guys' sweet sauce? Like, obviously, you guys have fire product and branding. Like, what do you think sets you apart, and what do you think sets other brands apart? Like, what are brands doing that are, like, seeing success in your eyes?
I mean, the branding part's huge. I think activity is probably the biggest one. Like, how active are you in stores?
Just like your relationship with East Dispensaries, or how active PADs, are you?
PADs, education, security guards, bud tenders, managers, like owners, like talk to everybody, be friends, be nice. Like my favorite part of the growth in my part of the industry is like all the people that were bud tenders, that were drivers, security guards back in the day, are now directors, owners, the biggest players in the game. And I was like, oh my God, how do you know these people? Like, I bought weed from them. I sold weed to them. I don't know. We all came up together. And like, same stuff. You're like, I was at Josh's first sales day ever.
Yeah. Like, that's what Izzy from on your team, he was telling me at Hall of Flowers. He's like, dude, I was a bud tender for 8 months and I ran outside the store when Barney was leaving and chased him down in the parking lot to ask him questions. And Barney was like, I fuck with you because like, it shows the passion. It shows that he like wants to do some shit. And I tell everybody who watches our channel, if you guys want to work in the industry, if you guys are passionate, like starting as a bud tender right now in 2021, like you're going to be able to move up so fucking fast if you're passionate and if you care and if you want to get involved, you know? And like Izzy's like, Barney brought me on to Ember Valley, worked at a dispensary for 8 months just because he was like passionate and like he came in, talked to the sales reps, talked to all the PAD people, like find your fucking job, make your job, you know? And we all like come up together.
Yeah, I feel like we always like kind of preach that same thing for the last couple of years. It's like, everybody always wants to look at like someone that's already made it or whatever. It's like, look at the people around you that are coming up and like come up together, and you're going to be amazed at like seeing all these fucking seeds sprout as you fucking progress. You know what I mean?
You can't cheat the hustle.
Yeah.
No. Like when we met you, we were in the fucking Long Beach house and you worked at Moxie, and you fast forward like 2 years and like you running shit at Ember Valley and we're in this crazy house in Beverly Hills. It's like, we just got to all invest in each other early. Like you can see the people who have the passion. You can see the people who care, who are like willing to put themselves out there, you know? And then we just all like all work together and we just build this shit, you know? That's how we're going to like keep the fucking snakes out.
You know? Can change your life doing this stuff.
Like facts.
Yeah. Like that's the only thing I preach at educations and all this stuff is like, take your job seriously.
Doesn't matter what you fucking do.
Doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're in the cannabis space, you're probably a millionaire.
Like in that you're gonna be,
I don't know how to drop this mic, but like done. Like if you work in cannabis right now, you're probably a millionaire.
Like you're chilling. Like
it's so really
all of us working here and like through the pandemic, and this is an essential business. And I mean, supposedly like California cannabis is about to be fucked from like all these articles I'm not reading that I see on Instagram. But you know, through the pandemic, like we're so blessed to be part of this shit. You know what I mean? And it's been an essential business, and for the most part, everybody who continued operating during this COVID in cannabis is thriving.
Wisdom is a thing. Like what you learn through all this stuff is going to be so important for the rest of the country, the rest of the world. That's why, like I say, everybody's a millionaire. Like you may not believe me, but like the knowledge you gain for the next 5 to 10 years, you can't get anywhere else.
No, so much value. You could take this shit and go anywhere. That's like a bunch of our homies that are transplants. Like, I don't know what your future plan is, you have like a family and shit, but so many of our homies that are transplants and live in Southern California and work in the industry, they're like, shh, I'm about to just do this shit for like 2 or 3 years. Once it goes legal in my home state, I'm moving back and I'm spearheading all that shit. You know, they're just like out here learning. Take that shit back to Oklahoma, take that shit back to Florida, New York, whatever, and like spread that out. Anybody who like doesn't live in Cali, like fucking move out here. Just be a bud tender. Get a room on the Craigslist and just learn for like 2 years and then move back to fucking Arkansas in 3 years when it goes legal and then just fucking spearhead all your local community.
The OGs that are out here are everywhere. They are everywhere. I mean, I met a couple at your last party through Adam that are like, thank y'all for like doing what y'all did.
Oh, like, and like Adam, his network is some fucking OGs. That 11:30 party was sick. When like we had that big, the patio, we just made like one giant circle of like all the shit, not sep, you know, just like one inclusive circle. And it was just all a bunch of OG, like respected dudes just posted up chilling, seshing.
It was a spectacular.
I don't even know any of those dudes. I just like recognize that y'all motherfuckers are bad OG motherfuckers. And like, I appreciate y'all being here. Enjoy.
Yeah, big fan. I had a great time. I got to meet dudes that like I looked up to for a long time. Guys that like I'd never had a chance to meet before. But like, you know, Adam's been a pillar for a long time. Like, it matters on who you ask, but like,
Adam's a fucking Adam OG, facts.
Like, Adam literally like walked me and Derek straight up to like fucking everybody and just like introduced us like before we knew anyone. Like, took us like fucking, where'd we go? We went like Tommy Chung's house and like,
oh my god,
I mean, we took us like three things in one night. It's just like back to back to back, just like, I don't know, it was dope. Adam's always fucked with us and yeah, he's chill.
You had to be a crazy person to get into this in the old days, so like, you know, I like anybody who is willing to try and do this stuff in like the last 15 to 20 years.
Fuck yeah,
like
100%.
I fuck with you, like you've been doing this for 20 years, like I don't give a fuck who you are, I fuck with you, like thank you for what you've done.
No, the OGs that built this shit, you know? Like, we're lightweight starting to become, like, OGs is this little, like, social media cannabis community shit or whatever, but Adam has been doing cannabis content since 2008, 2009, you know what I mean? Like, these OGs that, I mean, even spawning back to all these dudes with, like, genetics and, like, bringing shit back and trapping and putting shit across the border, and, dude, there's so many people who have... There's a lot of stories, and hopefully on this podcast we'll be able to have people on and, like, I don't know, statute of limitations or whatever, but we got a lot of fucking, like, homies with a lot of crazy stories, so hopefully we'll be able to tell some shit.
I will state the first person who writes a book's a snitch.
Yeah, right? Because there's, like,
I ain't even going to say it, but, like, you just, like, if you trying to get all the history and all the shine, like, whoever writes that first book or tells that first story, like...
Okay, that's, like, we always start... this sentence and everybody looks like we're crazy, but like that's what was dope about Clubhouse. Let me explain myself. Like, I would go into like a breeder room in Clubhouse and it would have all these dope ass OGs, and I don't know shit. I know this part of cannabis, you know, I don't know genetics and breeding like that, and I got to go in there and hear like Todd McCormack telling stories about traveling with Jack and like the dude Brett who created Grape Ape, and then hearing like other growers in there asking them questions and like, how do I credit you for, you know, when I grow your strain, and hearing all those stories and dudes telling stories about like bringing seeds back from like Amsterdam and shit like that. Like, I remember when they brought this original seed, and on Clubhouse I'm just sitting there like editing photos, just listening to these stories, and like it's I don't know, it's something about it, it's like so special, you know? Like, and I feel like there was those moments on Clubhouse, and then obviously it gets like oversaturated and the organization's crazy, but there was like for cannabis, for our community, dope, dude, there was like a good 2 or 3 months, you know?
I was a part of it. I'm with it.
Yeah, you're helping the mix.
I didn't think it was going to be as cool as it was, and everybody was clowning. And I'm not going to lie, I got off pretty quick, but like
2 or 3 months was amazing.
Like 2 months going hard and then just fucking nope, no more. Literally just like overnight just stopped going on it pretty much.
There's just people are just hijacking rooms, and it's, you know, you go on there and all the fucking... like the bosses are on stage, but nobody's talking because it's they don't need to talk, or they don't want it, they don't have to talk. Where then the people who like really want to like feel like they need to put themselves out there, just hijacking everything, and then you kick me off stage, and then they're getting all mad. It's like, in a real keynote speech, would you get mad if you couldn't keep talking to the moderator the whole time? Like, you ask your question, next person. Very
simple. This is how this works. Like, I've been in this since 2003. Matters on how you do the math. But like, my friend started a glass company that I got involved with. So like, in my head, it's like, dude, that's disgusting. It's almost been 20 years.
That's crazy. Dude. So that's how you started, was with glass.
Yeah. So Pure Glass was the glass company my two friends started that I also started my dispensary with.
This is a dispensary in Hawaii?
No, it's here.
You so you've been out, how long have you been out here?
Originally got here in 02.
Okay.
So my first roommate was from Tijuana. And his two like closest friends that he grew up with, these two brothers. And the two brothers like kind of put me on game, where they're sort of like the older guys that taught me a lot of this stuff when it came to like the business side of cannabis. And they were glassblowers originally, moved over to cannabis in 06 like everybody else did. But in the beginning, like Pure Glass, shout out, man. It was the old days, but that's where I got my stars and stripes from.
Dude, sick.
Like running around up and down getting. To smoke shops and like trying to slang glass.
Where's your dispensary?
Dispensary is Mota in Silver Lake.
Okay, it was in Silver Lake.
Still there.
All right, damn. That's a good location.
Yeah, it was a lot of luck and a great realtor. Like, super thankful. But yeah, shout out Mota.
Damn. And then how did you get, who else have you worked with like before Moxie?
So I moved back to Hawaii for a little while and did consulting for the groups in Hawaii. So I helped get a couple of dispensary groups launched in Hawaii, which was a shit show to say the least.
What is it? It's just medicinal in Hawaii?
Yeah, just medicinal. There's 8 licenses across the state. So it's
that's
not,
all different islands.
Yeah, 3 in Oahu, 2 on the Big Island, then 1.
Is it hard to get your card out there? Or is it like the California bullshit?
You can get your card, you just can't have a gun.
Oh. How is it in Hawaii with guns? Is like big. Is like a lot of.
I mean,
big gun culture out there.
There's a lot of hunting culture.
Oh, that's right. Like,
so like on that
stuff.
Side of it, it's a little different from what everybody would think it is. Like, there's actually still like big game. There's still things to do out there. Like, it's still
Axis
part
deer.
Of like kind of who we are and what we do. So
pig, like both, like pigs and deer and
I mean, there's
shit,
even like
yeah.
bigger like elk so looking gnarly. Things. Like, there's. I mean, I don't hunt.
Just hunting a boar, like that's so gnarly,
dude. Those
dude
things
and
will
like
fuck you.
Usually, like when they hunt boar, there's no gun.
Yeah,
like, that's a machete
that's
move.
So
yeah,
machete.
Wow.
That's yeah, it's if you haven't been on a boar hunt growing up in Hawaii, like you haven't really grown up in Hawaii.
What? Is that some common shit? Jen wouldn't know about that shit.
Oh, for sure. Jen would know. I hope Jen didn't go.
No,
like,
fuck no. She probably
she just
didn't.
Slaughtered like 9 fucking
yeah,
boar.
Yeah, right?
Actually, she carries it on her back on the way back like, for the pictures. Like, that's the whole thing you have to do, by the way. You have to carry it on your back.
So you've done that?
I didn't get the kid. Well, I didn't. You have to do the kill to carry.
Oh, okay.
I just was like the scared kid that was sort of running in the background, like, why are we doing this? Like,
make it stop.
But it's all part of the fun. But no, back to the other things. So when I went back to Hawaii, did some consulting, tried to like live the corporate life, did solar sales, a little bit of financial advising.
Oh, dabbled.
You know, dabbled here and there, and then I broke the ball off my femur.
You did what?
I broke the ball off my
like,
femur.
Like, is that at your hip or what?
Pardon?
Yeah. Like, that thing, like, inside of your hip that makes it so you can walk.
Ugh. How'd you do that?
Yeah, boar hunting? Skating.
Yeah.
Sorry, just pounding on the table.
Hey, Barney, just remember one rule, bro. Don't pound on the table.
Right? As I pound on the table.
It makes a really weird noise. Got it.
Skateboarding.
Yeah. Down a big mountain in Hawaii.
Wow, yep. Bombing hills. That's how it happens. You get fucked up.
Yeah. It's terrifying. Don't break the ball off your femur. It takes a long time to heal.
No, that sounds insane.
That's yeah.
But I did learn that corporate people suck. Nobody cared. All the jobs I had worked, nobody came to take care of me. All the guys I came up with in the cannabis game, everybody came through.
Hell yeah.
Everybody.
Dude, sick.
So I ended up moving back to California with my two friends that I had originally started the dispensary with way back in the day. I was on a cane and a walker. All kinds of ridiculous
That's
things.
That's some gnarly rehab.
Gnarly. Then we kept growing weed, kept selling weed. Company kept growing. We ended up moving our store to Silver Lake from the Valley. Ended up staffing the store, and then I got my first sales job.
Nice. Who's that?
Shout out Shelf Life.
Shelf Life.
It was a distro that launched 20-plus brands. They helped
with
some
of the brands?
Launch.
Stizzy. Yeah, it sounds super familiar.
They helped with the Packwoods launch.
What is this, like 2017, 16, 18?
18.
That's because Stizzy was like 18, right?
Yeah, this is right about when like what we would all consider recreational cannabis sales had just sort of started.
Okay, yeah.
There had been prior, but it wasn't the same game that we were playing now. And obviously it changes a lot every year, especially with Metric, but...
Fuck Metric, I'm just kidding.
But this is, yeah, like a Stizzy, Packwoods, Level, Gas House.
Doing sales.
Yeah, this is like, they just launched brand after brand after brand. Then I went to Moxie. I'd always wanted to work for Moxie. I think everybody did at one point. If you didn't want to work for Moxie, like, you're lying.
Yeah, like, Moxie's fucking huge.
So fire. Like, shit. Everything is just, the brand reputation, stellar.
So were you there when they were, like, going crazy, like, the last year of 215, where they would have, like, the two-story booth throwing out all the shit off stage?
Nope.
That was probably, like, 17. That was right 17, 16. Them, oh, okay.
Probably, yeah.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, because you were working with them. Yeah.
Yeah, and you didn't work there yet, yeah.
I was lucky enough to be a part of our dispensary for those times, so, like, I got to be a normal customer, a normal fan. Like, I got to, like, be in the crowd when Adam would throw stuff out. And, like, I got to wait in line and go buy seeds. I got to go, like, do all the other stuff. I didn't have any, like, concept of what it was like to be on the brand side.
Were you doing buying for the shop? Or
yeah, like, we got our first, like, Symbiotic Genetics from, like, a Chalice Festival. We got our first, like, JBZC Junkie stuff from, like, a Chalice Festival. Like,
it's so sick.
This is, like, how we built our business off of, like, these seeds and these genetics. Like, super thankful.
Yeah.
That's why, like, as I always say, like, the plant does all the work. Like, we have to show up and water it and do all the things and sell it, but...
Do you think at a certain point, do you want to move that shit a little closer to your face? Pull that a little closer.
Yes.
Do you think that, like, at what point do you think these growers are going to start being, like, the superstars? Like, they kind of are in the, they are, like, in the core community, but what, when do you think, like, you think, like, mainstream, you know what I mean? You think, is it going to be in, like, 5 years? Do you think, like...
Yeah, that's weird. Like, I mean, there's a handful, but there's not, yeah.
But it's also like the growers, I like to call it, like, I don't know, is it like trapper trauma, you know? Like, they're always trying to keep it low key. They're trying to, like, it's going to be like the next generation of growers that come out with social media that are, like, putting their face out there, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, at what point do, like, you got the influencers that kind of, like, ran the game in the last few years. I feel like it's kind of transitioning into attention towards the bud tenders with education, and they are, like, the middleman to the consumer. But at what point is it, like, the grower is the superstar, the all-star, the highlighted person? We're telling the JBZ story. We're telling the Chris Compound. I mean, I guess homie LMC is doing it, Luke. But, like, at what point is the, you know what I mean? You think the mainstream will ever give a fuck?
I'm terrified we have to go through the path of the beer route.
Because do they give a fuck? Does I don't know. I'm not an alcohol person. Does, like, this dude from the microbrewery, is he the superstar? Is he cool? You know? Do people give a shit?
They do. I mean, I think the brand has a lot to do with it and how you represent your brand. But I think the biggest part is going to be, we might have to go through that point where there's 5 to 10 handful of brands that people know and they get comfortable with.
For sure.
And then the craft guys can come through. The really talented, smaller scale boutique growers can come back. And I don't think they're ever going to go anywhere. I think that market's always going to stay and always going to grow. But I think the majority of people have already spoken. They want THC content and price.
Mm-hmm.
Once we educate people and they get a little further past that, no one will talk about it again. But we need time. Educating the consumer across the world is going to take a little bit of effort.
Yeah, we're the guinea pigs here. We're figuring it out.
Yeah, I mean, I joke with people when I hire them. I'm like, hey, go online and, like, Google how to do your job when you get home.
What do you look for when you go to hire, like, so you're the sales manager?
Director of sales.
Director of sales. See, we bring people on. We have no idea what our friends do. John Capetta? No idea. He's VP of something. He's just a bad motherfucker. I don't know.
Happy birthday, John Capetta.
Oh, it's his birthday today. Shout out, John.
I know I'm not supposed podcast, to date things, but still.
Podcast alumni. But what do you look for when you're looking for sales reps to hire for Ember Valley?
It's different for role, right? You can't, like, not everybody's perfect for every spot. So, like, I don't want to give a description that, you know what I mean? Some people get discouraged and they're like, oh, I can't get into sales. Like, you can for sure get into sales. I don't care if you're an introvert, extrovert, like, there's a place where you can sell. Like, that's, like, one of, like, the misconceptions. Like, you have to be outgoing. You have to be this. Like, no, you don't. There's a million different ways you can generate revenue, and, like, it's important for, like, people to know you can generate revenue at so many different levels. So for me, flexibility, adaptability, and, like, willingness to run through a wall, because there's going to be a bunch of barriers, there's going to be a bunch of walls, a bunch of hurdles, and, like, we're not going to even know how to warn you for most of them. So, like, you have to be willing to sort of make those adjustments on the fly and have been through maybe enough hardship to know how to do that.
Problem solving.
Yeah, like, just basic old school hustle.
common sense, problem solving, hustle. Yeah.
Being proactive.
I don't remember the last time I've asked someone's educational background for a hire.
You can like see it in somebody. Yeah. It's fucking, it's like watching an old mafia movie. You know what I'm saying? Just go watch Goodfellas. It's like, that's what you look for. A little Henry Hill. You know, work hard, take initiative, don't snitch. You made man.
Don't snitch.
Rule number one. All right. Three sales tips.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Don't sell.
I love that. That's my favorite one. That's the most obvious one. Fucking the best way to sell something, don't fucking sell it.
Don't sell.
Number one.
Become a great listener. Be genuine and authentic.
That's it. It seems so simple.
Right?
It seems so simple, but people just get caught up in like, you know, pushing or like ego or whatever. Just
money. Money.
Bread.
Bread.
Talk about the bread.
That's it.
They all want the bread.
Don't get blinded by the money.
Don't get blinded by the bread.
You have a opportunity to build a once-in-a-lifetime relationship in a once-in-a-lifetime industry to do amazing things for your future. If you think you can map to how much money you're going to make in this industry, you can't. Don't chase the money. Chase the relationships. Chase the brand you want to work for. Chase your dream job because it's there.
Right.
Like, if you're chasing the money, you're lost.
Money will come.
It's coming. That's what I said. It's everyone coming. Who works in cannabis is probably a millionaire.
They will be.
If you're not like a multimillionaire, but like if you're working in cannabis right now and you're going to stay in it for the next 40 years, you're probably going to generate $1 million.
Chances are. Yo, you're going to generate $1 million. Like you make 50 grand a year for fucking 10 years. You know what I mean? Like 20 years, you make a million. You're Gucci.
You know what I mean? Like it's almost a guarantee. So like buckle in. Like this is what we're going to do.
That's how I look at it. I don't even look at it like getting rich or anything. It's like we're going to be good. That's it. Like, our future families, your family, are your friend, like world, as long as we all working and building towards this shit and not burning bridges and trying to help bring value to other people, we don't have to be millionaires. Like, we're gonna be able to eat. I'm gonna be able to make a living. You know what I mean? Like,
build a life you can afford. Don't rent a house or a mansion in Beverly Hills. Like, you know what I mean? Like, try and make something that's sustainable. Like, this doesn't apply to everybody, but you know what I mean?
Don't, like, definitely don't do what we're doing. Yeah. Like this part with the house, opposite. With the house, don't do it. Other stuff, yeah. Listen to this podcast, listen to Barney, some of our little things, but like, don't go fucking get a house. We're not, but we got sponsors. We got this shit figured out. We're paying for all
you
this really, shit.
But like, build a life you can afford. Learn how to live within it. Learn how to be happy within it. And then if you make a whole bunch of money, go on vacation a lot. Like, that's my goal. Like, that's all me and my wife work towards. Just like trying to make enough money that we can figure out how to be happy within it.
Top three vacation spots.
Ooh. Ixtapa.
What's that?
It's a...
That sounds like a place in a video game.
It's a city in Mexico, actually, or a town in Mexico. Okay. It's mostly known by Zihuatanejo.
Oh, from Shawshank Redemption. Let's go.
So, you know, frame, baby. It's an important one. It's where me and my wife had our honeymoon. So
what?
Like, it's a good one. Number two is Japan, just because the food. I'm sorry. I like sushi. It's delicious.
All of it.
I'm all about that. Everything about it. The clothes fit me better. I'm not a large human. I'm a compact car, if anything. So, like, this is how this is going to work. And I'd say the last one would be Hawaii.
Back home, baby.
Just because, like, this is now home for me. So, Hawaii is, like, where I would prefer to go as many times as I possibly can.
Nice. Okay. This is a top whatever with Barney right now.
Run it. Let's do this.
Top five places to go eat in Hawaii.
Ooh. Number one, Latour Cafe.
Where?
There's three or four of them around the island.
Okay.
They make like American, Vietnamese local food. They used to be the Bale group. So like pretty much everybody who's ever been to Hawaii has had banh mi from them. Mm. But they have like a newer name and they're redone and the food's fantastic. My best friend might own it, but that's a whole different reason on why that would be my first shout out.
Shout out, Mike.
Number two would most likely have to be Rainbow Drive-In. It's a little lame and everybody knows what it is, but it's still the best local mocha I've ever had in my life. And
where's that?
Kapahulu.
It was a little diner, right outside a cafe or what?
It's like a tiny little diner. Like everybody, it's on everybody's like top 10 list. Okay, so
local spot.
But it's the best local mocha you'll ever get. Like I get mine scrambled because I'm a weirdo, but like it's spectacular.
Okay.
I'm also going to leave out a few really good ones for obvious reasons.
Yeah, you know, gotta keep them low key.
You know, I'm polite. I would say Kyung Seafood is one that I shouldn't say, but I will.
What's that?
It's a Korean-owned seafood spot that does sashimi on platters about this big. And you just go in there to gorge on the best fish in the world.
Dude, you've never been to Hawaii, huh?
No, I haven't been fucking anywhere. You're naming all these places, I'm just like, yeah, fucking, I haven't been anywhere.
Yeah, Hawaii's good.
I've been to, like, Vegas.
A lot of times. Yo, Hawaii food, though, it's like, I don't know if people think about that. You think about, like, I'm going to go on vacation in beautiful beaches, warm, clear beaches. The food in Hawaii so fucking good, dude.
I can imagine.
It's, I mean, we are regionally, internationally respected at this point, I think. Like, everybody knows what a Roy's is. Like, I think we basically invented the word fusion for food.
Yeah, it pretty much is fusion because it's like all the Asian foods put together, you know, like hella shit is so good.
We're like the Kaju Kembo of food. I don't know if you guys
know. Nobody knows.
Martial arts joke. Sorry, my bad. Shout out, though. It's oh, wait, I have two more food spots I got to list off here. What's willing to give up? Ooh, we're just going to do Locomoco spots. We're doing...
Damn, only Locomoco.
Uh-huh, because that's my favorite. Like Drive-In, Leaky Leaky Drive-In, Fire. And then Laliha.
There's no, like, Giovanni Shrimp Truck?
No, allergic to shellfish.
Out. Oh, you're allergic. Okay.
I leave out most of, like, the things that everybody else would get, but, like, I mean, I'm a simple fat kid. Like, rice.
You want to explain beef, it to him?
Gravy.
There it is.
Eggs. Let me do this properly.
Break it down.
Like, four scoops of rice in a big-ass bowl. Two big-ass patties, preferably smashed as thin as humanly possible. And then you put two eggs on top of it. Everybody wants them, like, over easy so, like, the eggs will run. I'm a scramble guy because I don't, like...
Nah, yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, I'm not into that life. I'm not about that.
I don't play that.
So, scrambled eggs, smothered in fucking gravy, and then you just grab your hot sauce of choice. It matters on where you are. If you're Rainbow Driving, you use Red Devil. Anywhere else, I use Tabasco. Like, srirachas are, like, basically frowned upon. These are all my own judgments, but, like... It's important to talk about. The sriracha is frowned upon on all Locomocos. Like, if you offer me sriracha on a Locomoco, I will consider you a fraud.
Is that just a Barney thing, or is that, like, Hawaii thing?
I have no idea.
It's a Barney thing.
And I'm not going to claim anything for the state, because, like, I know better than that. But, yeah, Tabasco is definitely the best hot sauce that's ever existed. I'm willing to debate.
Mr. Tapatio over here is fucking tripping.
Find me a hot sauce that doesn't have xanthan gum, Mr. Moderator. Silence. You know why? Because vinegar is the best.
Have you done the hot chip challenge?
No. I don't want to. I'm old and my stomach hurts and I have to pay for things for days later.
Facts. What? How much would someone have to pay you to do the hot chip challenge?
I don't know. I'm not really interested. Like, I don't think I'm interested. I'd do it for like 10 grand.
Okay, yeah. That's the number. 10 grand.
$1,500.
You do it for $1,500? Holy shit.
I need a snoo. It's for my child. I'm not willing to spend the money because it's a $1,500 bassinet, but am I willing to eat a hot ass chip for it? Yeah, probably.
That makes it more worth it. You're like, I did it for my fucking kid.
I did it for my baby. Like, I feel more fatherly, you know, first child thing.
That's pretty dope.
Dude, I had like one fucking speck of Fish's hot sauce the other day and like, dude, my mouth is on fire for like 45 minutes. It's like absurd. I can't even imagine eating a whole chip, like let alone the hottest one of all time or whatever.
I did that like extremely hot ramen back in the day. That was not enjoyable.
No.
That doesn't sound like it.
There was no purpose for it.
We can't handle that heat, dude. I feel like wasabi and ginger. I could eat all the wasabi and ginger in the world. I'm
salivating
Gucci.
Wildly, though, talking about
really? This. Like some spicy ramen?
I'm like, oh, man, spicy food sounds fantastic. Right now. But I'm Korean. Like, it's in the blood.
Mm.
Like, I'm supposed to like spicy food. Like
the fucking,
part of the deal.
What's it? The tofu soup. Chick always get the...
Kimchi jjigae?
No.
Sundubu?
Sundubu.
There it is.
Yeah, we always say
it. There it is.
It's just spicy, dude. We always go like this number's 0.5, not even in one. Little
like
bitches over
half
here.
Half spicy, please. Do you have something less than mild?
Exactly. I'm half mild.
Yeah, well, half mild. Give me the fucking most plain one.
Dude.
Take that one.
Can't hang.
How are you guys so awesome?
Yeah.
We stay away from spicy food and we... We consult the Oracle Gym.
Stay
everything
away
works
from
out.
Spicy food is the technique. Okay.
I like it, but like you said, dude, I pay for that shit.
Yo,
I'm too old
like
to be
milk.
Paying for shit.
I pay for milk now, too.
Dude,
I don't know when I got so old and Asian that I can't like drink dairy anymore, but like it happened. It's a real thing.
It happened. Oat milk, baby. Almond milk only.
I can't do it.
Hemp milk is fire, though. You ever fuck with hemp milk?
I had it once.
It's the best one because it's actually like, thicker. It's like not like almond milk and oat milk. It's like thin. You put it in your coffee or whatever. The hemp milk's actually like thicker. Like it's no whole milk, but it's closer.
Since they won't let us sell hemp products in California dispensaries, really.
It's so weird.
I have no faith in hemp until like you guys are regulated the same way cannabis is.
Till then, it's just a shit show.
I'm drinking that cow milk.
Straight from the udder, baby. Let's go.
Drinking that cannabis milk, dude. Straight from the udder.
Straight from the udder. I was like, did that?
Drinking human milk only.
I like just got caught looking at whatever this is.
That's Jim, dude. Don't mind him. You've been here too many times.
Don't mind him. It's just when it's this close, it's a little different.
He just kind of watches over
it. And like, I forgot that he was there a few times, and then I look back and it's
he's
like,
back there too.
I don't want to look. They're not wrong. There really is another one back there.
He's making sure everything's okay.
Yeah, he's watching over.
Doing the things that are necessary.
Yeah. He's our MC Angel.
So what are some other brands that you're a fan of or that you see you're killing it out there, Barney?
I mean, Wild is just crushing it right now. I don't care who you are, what you do. Like,
are they number one edibles or what? Top three for sure.
They're
right?
Top three for sure. I think they were number one for a while. I'm gonna want to speak to it.
Was like Kiva's like number one overall? You think?
Probably
with all their products, because they have Caminos, like so many the SKUs. They have so many different dope SKUs.
It's definitely possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in the edible space anymore, thankfully. Edibles are a different world for me, and I don't really eat them, so it's harder for me to sell.
Yeah, if you're like a flower dude, you know flower.
I smoke a ton of flower and I smoke a ton of dabs. But even the flower, like, man, it's hard because my wife's been pregnant. I can't take bong rips in the house anymore.
Dabs only?
Brothers Broadleafs and dabs. It's weird when you can't bring your 3-footer out. Like, it's just not the same vibe. Like,
you have a different 3-footer. You have a fucking kid running around.
I'm going to have a different spot to smoke. Like, you know, I haven't figured out how this is going to work out yet.
Yeah.
But we're going to figure it out. I haven't figured out how this whole smoking with kids things works yet.
I mean, your wife's pregnant right now?
Super pregnant.
Super.
Like, massively okay. Pregnant.
Okay. I mean, yeah, kid's a baby. Kid don't even know.
Yeah, it's a baby. Still a couple years. He's like, yeah, well, it's a baby.
You got a couple years?
That's why I figured we have time.
From the dude who has no kid, like what?
Like when did your parents find out you smoked weed?
Mid-20s.
I was a late bloomer, yeah. I didn't even start until I was like 18, 19.
See, like I started smoking weed when I was 12.
Yeah, that's like everyone I know.
And like my parents didn't find out till midway through college.
Yeah.
And it was like a abrupt moment for them. Because it's not like they found out I smoked a little. They're like, oh, this is what you do for a living.
He blazes.
They just find like an ounce of shatter in here. They're like, what is this shatter?
Yeah, we'll say they found shatter. That sounds better than what happened. We'll just say that my mom saw something that she never brought up ever again. She opened the door. She looked in the room. She closed the door. And we never talked about it.
Just
ever.
Barney hitting a gas mask like a 5-footer.
It wasn't even like we weren't even smoking. We were just breaking down.
There's just material. There's just six dead bodies.
And it was just moving weed around. And she walked in, looked at me, and just, no, thank you. I'm done with that.
Not today.
I actually told my father that story for the first time this year.
This year. And look at you.
I sell weed for a living, Dad. I hope you're proud.
Dude, made it happen.
It's the dream. I've been doing, like, I tried to pull this off and just didn't know it was, like, a real job.
No, it makes zero sense.
Could you imagine being all of our parents?
My parents are just confused. Like, they don't even, like, they, like, kind of get it, but not really at all. You know what I mean? It's like, your parents probably same shit.
Yeah, my fucking, mom, yeah. My mom, like, there's no way to, like, it's like, yeah. I don't even try. Exactly. There's no way to completely break, nobody understands. Yeah. What the fuck's
going on? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And I'm with you guys a lot.
Nobody does. Literally nobody. It's so funny.
It's like magic. Like,
dude.
If you've ever watched Harry Potter, that's the easiest way to explain what this place is. It's like Hogwarts somehow.
That's
like
the best fucking analogy.
Like okay, people just show up and like magic fucking happens and then they leave and like then new people show up and then more magic happens. And like some of us stay and try and become professors and like, you know, it's all the game, but This is Hogwarts, fire on
broomsticks. He figured us out, dude. Aaron's the master wizard, and you're just teaching everybody how to be those little wizards here.
So, Aaron, how'd you do it?
Magic.
So, what's your secret technique? Magic.
Who said that? Somebody's been asking about what's their secret sauce or some shit like that. Ears, or somebody was saying, someone like, was that you or somebody was like asking, what's Hi-Rez's secret sauce? We just work every day, like long hours, and try not to like. I feel like when you work a corporate job, it's easy to just kill time and try to find ways to like kill your day, right?
You're working like 2 hours of the 8 hours. Or
exactly.
Yeah. I've never done that.
Well, you're passionate. You're gonna go find some shit to do. And
I swear, I've never done that. I've never just like sat at a job and not done what they told me to do. I would never.
That's absurd.
Never
take a good salary and benefits and just sit on Facebook a bunch.
Yeah, there was no Facebook when we were kids, though.
No.
There was no
like what do you gotta find shit to do
like. When I had like my first jobs, there was nothing to do to kill time other than to keep doing the job.
That's it. Find more shit to do.
Like you wanted to clean something, so they didn't make you mop the bathroom. Oh, he's going for the chocolates. Gone.
We're doing it. Somebody's got to do it.
The blunt kicked in, everybody.
I know.
It is time.
What are you smoking, Josh?
Smoking the Michigan.
He's smoking on Michigan.
I feel like I'm on Instagram right now smoking like one of those Josh joints that he posts just to make us all jealous. Like, I got to do one of those like, oh, check out the drip and the oil. Like, glass tip, bro.
It's a beauty.
This is that cannon, dog. That's how we do. Sorry, couldn't help it.
She's sweating.
Josh for a minute. Like, I wanted to feel cool and like hip and like fun.
Is that a donut? No donut. Thank you.
Oh, and check out that white ash, bro. Sorry, can't help it.
White ash only.
The ember burns nice, too.
All right, Barney, so why do you like Wild? Back to the brands.
Oh, man, I thought I got away from that one. I tried to escape.
You said Wild, but then you said you don't like edibles.
I like edibles. I just can't eat them all the time because edibles don't go away.
Why Wild? Like, why do you like them?
It's not that I like Wild. It's just like it's who I like in the market. They have great packaging. They have great branding everywhere. Everyone trusts it. They came out with like one of the first like natural gummies. Sorry, I didn't mean to do the quotations, but I couldn't help it. It's anybody who can do a great job in the market and find trust and build trust for a national scale, I'm thankful for. You're doing the work that we all need to get done. So like even someone like Select, as much as they've gone through hate and all these other different things, like, they did a lot. Like, they put a lot of, like, the cannabis people on the map. A lot of people, once they saw that Select acquisition, it was like, oh, man, like, maybe this cannabis thing is real.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that Hall of Flowers. Yeah, I think that was 2 years ago.
These, like, multi-state operators that are, like, he's like, because, like we're saying, we're all building the ground floor here. We're all setting the example for everybody. But these MSOs going to other states, they're, like, the next level of that. Because everybody's trying to figure out how the fuck to do that.
And they're the worst. But I'm so thankful for them. I don't know which side of the coin to lean on, but like, I know I don't know how to pay a lobbyist. Who would my lobbyist talk to? How would I give them that direction? There's a different level of legislation and things going on in the background trying to make federal things push through that, I don't know, you know how to do that stuff? Yeah. Like, that seems like a little bit above my level.
That's like, it's so similar to skateboarding.
So like,
I think, hell yeah. Who wouldn't? Could you imagine?
Are you kidding me?
Barney is a lobbyist. You'd be having everybody wilding out.
That would kind of be fun. If anybody's looking for a lobbyist, I need about $500,000 a year, and I'd like to live in Hawaii.
Any senators want to come take dabs with Barney? Bang our line.
Let us know.
We're ready. Okay, so back to brands. I have to do more. Who else is out there that I really like? I really, really like LA Family Farms, actually.
Their shit's fire. Yeah.
Their shit's fire. They did one of the first really good donuts out there. I thought it was great to bring to market. I actually smoke it. I enjoy it. It's a fantastic thing to smoke. Shout out to their hash washer. I smoke his hash. It's great. He does it as a friend, so I'm very thankful for it. But the call you guys are also a big fan of them. Shout out Mark. I don't know if you guys have ever had a chance to meet Mark. But
yeah, they came to our fucking Long Beach crib. It wasn't Mark.
I think it was Mark.
Two owners or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, those two homies came through and we'd fucking, they're like super small batch, just like fire fucking best of the best.
Dude, now they're everywhere. They're killing
it. Yeah, I feel like they've definitely fucking been blowing up a little bit for sure.
Well, I feel like they're like top three, would you say?
It's art, in my opinion. So like they're one of my, like they're my top subjective, three for sure. Yeah. Everybody has a different like flavor profile that they like and a different strain. And like everyone has like what they like.
Or top three in like you see in dispensaries. I feel like every time I go into dispensaries, I see Kalia, Papa's and Barkley, and 710. And then you see like Punch, a little bit of Field. Who else out there?
I agree. That's about right. I think there's a couple of these newer ones that are coming up. Like Dab Logic is fantastic. They're based out of Colorado originally, but they do an awesome job. I just met them at this Hearst Hall of Flowers, actually, this last one in Southern California.
It's going to be sick seeing more Rosenbrands like roll out too, because the last year or two, it's like only been really connoisseur shit. And I don't know if like the normal average consumer is really going in there looking for rosin, you know? They're like not looking for like a $70 to $100 gram. That's like some connoisseur shit, but so there's only a handful of brands. But I feel like the next like year or two, more people, more consumers are going to, you know, be educated on the solvent list, and we're going to see like more brands come out. We'll have more products and we'll have more variety. I don't know. Like, I support all that shit. Like, I want to see new brands. I want to see what people do. I want to see how people market their shit, how they brand their shit, like the type of products that they put out, you know? Like, competition is good.
It's spectacular. I mean, the more artists you have, the better the art gets. Mm-hmm. They inspire each other. They teach each other. Like, I met the Dab Logic guys through Mark, who runs Kalia. Like, they were sharing information and mind meshing and doing all those other fun things that exist. And like, this is one of those smokeouts that happens at events. This is like where real business gets done in this industry.
Yep.
Like, there's six dab rigs out and everybody's passing hash around and sharing information. It's a great time. Like, ooh, gotta pass a joint back. Sorry, we lost Derek. I got distracted.
No, it's like what's dope about the cannabis industry. In a lot of cases, people are a lot more willing to like share and build and whatever, whereas opposed to other industries, it's a lot more cutthroat, I feel like, and not as like, whatever the word is, you know what I mean?
What's that word you guys use all the time? Culture?
Culture.
Never like, heard of it.
It's a whole thing. I mean, I don't think I'd have my job if cannabis culture wasn't what it is.
It's like either you understand culture or you don't. You get it or you don't.
Yeah.
You know, you're either here to make money and try to whatever, or you're like, want to be part of it. You enjoy,
like,
this.
You can be both. Like, I like mansions in Beverly Hills that I get to come visit.
We got to be part of the culture to
earn that. You got to be part of the culture to come hang out, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not that crazy guy that got a mansion. So, like, but I get to enjoy the benefits of it because I'm part of this culture.
Facts.
Like, I get to build off of the platform that is High Rise, the platform that is all of the other people we work with and spend time with, because that's the real stuff that's actually happening out here.
Yeah.
It's like we're all building each other up, even if it's accidentally. Like,
straight up.
I don't know. I'm so thankful for this stuff. Like, I don't know. I get to take dabs on, like, on a podcast, and like, this is important.
You get to come over and take dabs and hang out and hand away free weed, like the Hawaiian weed Santa Claus.
I try. I actually, it's not Santa Claus I always dreamed of being, to be honest. I always wanted to be Aladdin.
Flying on his,
and the scene where he's like riding the elephant and throwing stuff off to the people. That was always like my greatest dream, was that like
blessing everyone with,
I could ride down like a main road and ride down an elephant and throw weed to people. Like, now riding elephants is frowned upon, so like it'll probably have to be a one wheel. And like throwing weed, like we'll have to ID everybody and make sure everybody's 21, make sure the rules are happening, and like you can't give anything away, so we have to charge everybody a penny. So,
you know, metric.
Just to make sure, you know, being supportive of the cause, paying our taxes and doing all the stuff. It's important.
It's very important.
Very important.
Pay those taxes.
What does your hat say, by the way?
What hat am I wearing today? Fuck my drink.
Oh, no shit. I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I just wanted to see what the hat said. I swear.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Nothing.
Not for sale at all. Definitely not sold on our website. We had to take them down.
I don't know where these came from. I couldn't tell.
We don't know. Definitely not made by High Rise.
We didn't make them?
No.
Somebody else did.
Mm-hmm. We love the BCC.
That was dope. High Rise on the back. That was really nice. It was a nice gift.
Yeah.
Customized it first.
Somebody customized it for Aaron.
It was a counterfeit.
Yeah, it was a bootleg. Yeah. It was a bootleg fuck metric. We love the BCC.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for making sure we're all compliant here in California. What we'd do without you. All right. Well,
no comment.
This podcast is sponsored by the BCC.
No comment.
All right. Hell yeah. Well, that's like an hour.
How'd we do? Did we talk about stuff?
I think we did good. How'd we do, Josh? Was that a good one?
Talk about more stuff?
This was a good industry one. Like a lot of good industry insight shit, I think.
I'm inspired.
Which is the majority of what like a lot of our listeners are, is like industry heads, you know?
Yeah.
Should we talk more about getting jobs so people feel inclusive?
About getting jobs?
Yeah, I think that's the only thing people really like talk about.
Okay, yeah, let's do if one of our or one of our viewers, any of our viewers that are watching out here,
to
like,
the one person,
to the one person
yo,
watching
listen
this,
listen
up,
this is for you.
So if they're seriously a passionate consumer of cannabis and they love High Rise and Ember Valley and they wanted to work in the industry, but you know maybe they live in a okay, let's say they live in a state that's at least medicinal. What would you say? How should they get their foot in the door?
First and foremost, work a 40-hour week. Right now. In cannabis, if you don't have a job. Study it for 40 hours a week. Read about it. Instagram. Whatever you want to do. Network. But put 40 hours towards working in cannabis.
Take notes, bitch.
I don't care how you do it, but spend 40 hours a week.
Yeah, like study that shit.
Study. LinkedIn, ZipRecruiter.
You're saying spend 40 hours a week trying to learn how to get an opportunity in the industry.
Even just learning about the industry. Study strains. Find what part of the industry you think you're going to fit into and you like.
Right.
Just
doing your research. And
put the time in.
Yeah.
The big secret to everything, like we said earlier, is like hard work. Like you can't cheat the hustle. So like the way you can shortcut it from having to live here is like do the homework. Like, some of the best breeders in the country aren't from California. Some of the best weed in the country is not being grown in California right now. There's other grows out there. There's other things that are happening. There's other places to go to. So that would be my biggest advice is, like, your state might open up anytime. You don't know how the laws are changing. Everything's moving quickly. A state next to you, you could drive over. But if you're studying, if you're putting in the time, if you're putting in the work, like, you'll be ready when it comes.
Who are some people that you think they should like watch or follow that they could get some good information from that, you know, just like people that are like tapped into what's going on?
I would say John Capetta is a great one.
That's what I was going to say.
He's high on the list. I'd say Jimmy Devine is also a great one. Who else would I put in there? I'd say Sonia Hendricks. I think I got that right. She's like one of the top PR people for the industry right now. Who else is out there? All the like the guys who are making moves right now. Alien Labs for Ted, Caleb, Nate for Connected, Luke for shout out Luke. Doja, like these are the guys that are, you know, some of the guys that are really making moves that people are recognizing their names and like they did it. Like this stuff's happening. Like the CBX team can't hate killing it.
Yeah, Josh got this sick ass little water bottle. CBX is everywhere too.
There's a couple of these brands. I mean, as I said, like there is more than enough people who want to smoke weed. We are still that whole rising tide lifts all the ships thing. Like we're trying to do this together. So for me, I would just say do the homework. If you keep studying, if you keep like actually researching stuff and trying to figure out new things, you don't need to grow. You can learn all that stuff online. You don't need to process. You can learn all that stuff online. But like when you get there, you better have good questions to ask. You shouldn't be asking the basic stuff you could have learned online. And like, man, if someone showed up to one of my interviews and was like, you know, I've spent the last 3 weeks studying this. Hired. Like, as I said, that thing I look for is like, are you willing to run through a wall? Like the wall is you don't live in a legal state. Run through that damn wall.
And it's pretty crazy because it sounds so easy and it sounds so common sense, but you guys would be, it's unbelievable how many people do not try and how many people do not give a fucking shit and how many people are just waiting for an opportunity to come to them. Like if you're sitting there like Barney says and you're studying and you're just figuring out who's who, these dudes and these dudes, and this person collabs with this person or they used to work together here, and you kind of just learn the culture and, you know, learn these stories. I think Luke at LMC and High Design, like he does a really good job at that. He's literally studying the shit. He's up in Washington and he's just studying the culture and making these little docs, and they're great. It's like if you have that knowledge, like Barney said, like somebody's going to, even if you do know how to grow, or even if you do know how to extract, like you go work at a different lab and they're going to have a different process. You're going to have to relearn a lot of that shit anyway, of the different process. If you study the culture and you understand the community and the culture, that's what separates us from the like all of us from the Chads, the fucking corporate Chads. Like, they don't know. They're just here to get the money and the investor, you know?
The history is important. Like, it's not like people are, you know, you're trying to like make the connections and you're trying to do this for nefarious reasons. Like, learning who collabs with who is like the history of what we're all building. Like, investing that time into that practice and learning all that stuff is like that Kobe mentality stuff. Like, you got to practice, you got to work hard, you got to earn this stuff. So like, do your homework. Like, there are people who can run circles around me on genetics.
Oh, it's impossible to be a black belt in like all the disciplines in cannabis, though. You know, there's going to be your professionals at the genetics, the breeding, and then the growers are over here. And then you have the extractors, you know, and like everybody's going to have a pretty good idea. But there'll be very few people that have black belts in like multiple disciplines.
It's hard. Like, for me, I'm a solid white belt in pretty much all of them because I've worked every job in the industry. Solid white belt.
Yeah, right.
It's dark. I've like put some sweat and hard work into it. Right. Like, it's a real white belt. But like, you know, I sell weed. Like, my job is to move cannabis products. And like, that's what I do. That's what I focus on. That's what I practice. That's what I like try and hone my skill on.
What are some of your tactics that, you know, when it comes to sales? I mean, I know we did, you know, sales tips, but like when you're personally going out there, like what are you, some of the things that you do? Like for Ember Valley, for example, like this Pheno Hunt little promo thing you guys have been running for the last couple of months, like what are some of your like specific tactics? Or some of the things that you came into Ember Valley and you're like, let's run this shit.
Fine. I mean, my biggest ones are like, I learned this from my first boss at Shelf Life, like plan your work and work your plan. Cannabis is getting more and more structured by the day. So like, you can actually write a schedule. You can send calendar events now. This is like a real actual thing that's possible. The second one would be live in your car. Like, you need to be out in the field. You need to be active. You need to be like everywhere as often as you can. It's why I've been at so many events and I've been to every dispensary I could possibly go to anywhere. And then the last one would be drink water.
Smoking a lot of weed, taking a lot of dabs, gotta stay hydrated.
Water. Like, I left my water over there, so I'm gonna drink one of these waters. I have no idea how long I've been here.
Water champ.
Drink it anyway. But like, seriously, like being healthy, being happy, like transferring your energy is really important. And like, if you're not hydrated, that's not possible.
Podcast sponsored by Arrowhead Water.
Yeah, for real. That's good. See that? Damn, a whole bottle.
Dude, big lungs.
Sorry about that.
Jesus. You got any questions for Barney, Josh?
Can you drink another water?
I've done that a few times in college. I have passed out once from drinking water too fast.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's I basically drowned, but didn't drown. Like,
drowned from
like
the inside out.
They had to like lift up my legs and like do the whole thing. Like, I was out.
Gnarly. Because there's like people who died drinking. Like, they've had like people try to drink a gallon of water for a challenge, and people have died. And stuff.
Yeah, like before. You know that whole like Eddie would go extremes thing. Like, for sure, I have a problem with that. I definitely do things from one to the other. So
not a hot chip challenge though.
Yeah.
As I said, I mean, you want to buy me a snoo, I'm all
about it. Oh, $1,500, way cheaper than Aaron's 10 grand.
I'm telling you, I'm a deal. I just want that, like, bassinet that shakes my baby and makes it, like, apparently it's like the womb. It makes noises and shakes and does little heating things, and they can't, like, fall over. There's a tracker, so they don't, like, it's ridiculous. But it's $1,500 for, like, 6 months.
Yeah, right? Because they outgrow everything?
What?
You're like, I'm just going to have another kid. Babe, we're going to have to have another one. I got to put something in this bassinet. Fill this thing up. Nah. Spent the money on it. Ate the goddamn hot chip.
One and done, just like the hot chip, bro. I'm going to learn my lesson. Hopefully, I'm out. Finito. Damn, this was fun.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for fucking coming all the way through. We appreciate you.
This is my first podcast. It was great.
Hopefully, it's not your last. We're definitely going to have you on again once we keep this thing moving.
This is fun, boys.
Yeah. Thank you guys for watching. You guys can follow Barney at Barney from the Valley. Did I get that right?
He did.
On Instagram. And yeah, make sure you guys follow High Rise TV. You guys can check this shit out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Or, you know, if you guys are on those apps, you guys can check this out on YouTube. Anything else?
Follow Ember Valley. Ember underscore Valley. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out Ember Valley. We got all the fucking, all the smoke for later.
All the new.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching. Till next week. Keep pushing. Keep rising.
Yeah.
Dang, that was fun. That was perfect.